This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Sounds of sword fighting there from NBC series Crossbones, a fictional account of the notorious pirate Edward Blackbeard Teach. You don't have to go far to find Blackbeard and his fellow buccaneers swashbuckling through popular culture. From Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island to Captain Phillips, portrayals of pirates have captured the public's imagination for centuries. But why has such a small group of individuals operating during a relatively short period in the early 18th century left such an enduring legacy? Joining us to explain and clear up some common myths about pirates is Colin Woodard. His book, Republic of Pirates, served as the inspiration for Crossbones. He also was story consultant for the video game Assassin's Creed IV, Black Flag. Colin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you write about piracy having been around for thousands of years, but the Golden Age, when was that and why so short-lived?
Well, it was one gang of pirates who were responsible for 90% of all our pop culture imagery, and they were operating for a very brief period of time, roughly 1715 to 1719 or 20, and they've remained famous because they were incredibly effective. They were threatening three maritime empires and had the warships of the Royal Navy on the run, and their legacy has been lasting ever since.
Well, and that legacy has captured our imagination. How were they regarded at the time?
They were folk heroes at the time, which is one of the reasons that they remain folk heroes now. These particular pirates, unlike the pirates who came before and the pirates who've come since, didn't see themselves as just being thieves and brigands, but rather as leading a social revolt against the sort of authoritarian powers of an increasingly authoritarian time, especially the ship owners and ship captains who'd made many of their lives miserable when they were serving on merchant vessels. So they considered themselves to be Robin Hood's men and advertised themselves as such. And many people, ordinary people on both sides of the Atlantic, actually believed their take on events.
Well, adding to their folk hero credibility, at least in retrospect, they also freed slaves on occasion.
Yes, just remember in this early 18th century is a time when the Caribbean was one slave plantation after another, and pirate ship turned out to be one of the few places where people of African descent had the possibility of being free. Pirates allowed African Americans they encountered and runaway slaves to join their ships as equal members of the crews, and some of them even rose to be pirate captains themselves. Not everybody. They also, perplexingly, would trade captured slaves as cargo or plunder. So it's a perplexing period, but yes, the possibility was there.
Well, we do have a very particular image of how a pirate should look and behave. You know, I'm thinking of the mismatched clothes and eye patches and wooden legs. You know, saying things like, avast, or walk the plank. Now, where does that come from, Colin?
Well, a lot of that comes from Robert Newton, the actor's portrayal of Long John Silver and Blackbeard in the early Disney films of the 1950s, Treasure Island and Blackbeard. And he was the one who came up with that sort of what's become since a stock character, that pirate saying, arr, and avast, and so on and so forth. And he was from the West Country of England originally, from Dorset, and was channeling the accent and local dialect of his youth. Now, since many of the pirates were from the West Country, maybe a quarter or a third, it's safe to say that probably some of the pirates may have spoken with an accent resembling the pirate talk we hear, although Newton was definitely greatly exaggerating the accent and hamming it up a great deal.
I want to know where Captain Bellamy is.
Well, he's aboard, all right. I left him hanging around somewhere.
There was a dead man hanging from the yardarm as we came aboard.
Ah, there's a man what's seen him.
Let's look at some of the other ideas that we have about pirates. One, that they buried treasure often yet to be found. True?
Well, Robert Louis Stevenson brought us the idea of pirates burying their treasure. No, there's no real credible accounts of any of the Golden Age pirates or most anyone else digging holes in the ground to put their valuables. And think about it, it doesn't make all that much sense that you would do that. How could you count on all of the men who are witnessing you doing that not being separated from you later and coming back and digging it up? What the pirates, what we do know that they did is they either traded their plunder for things they needed, from rum to naval stores, or if they had a lot of it, they deposited it with trusted people. And there were a few famous brokers out there who would be willing to hold on to black market plunder, and some of them were in fact governors of colonies.
Among the most famous of the pirates, Blackbeard, who is said to have terrorized the New World and have been so terrifying that ships would actually surrender without even putting up a fight. True or false?
It's true. Blackbeard cultivated this visage of terror so that people would be too afraid to fight him and would surrender, and they did. He would light fuses in his beard. So you'd have fire and smoke coming around his head when he went into battle.
Wowie.
So around his, yeah, he had his, he and his men would be carrying bandoliers of pistols and grenades and boarding axes and wearing the gentlemen's clothes and wigs and a hodgepodge of things they'd looted from wealthy passengers in previous captures. And it absolutely terrified the crews of the vessels they were coming to. It looked like something out of a Mad Max movie. So that was the entire plan, though, because Blackbeard didn't want to risk any of his crew being hurt, his vessel being damaged, and he didn't want to damage the vessel he was capturing or its cargo or its crew members, who were the potential recruits and volunteers who would join and swell the mass of the pirates.
So this was all for show? There was no real violence?
In Blackbeard's case, no. I mean, people were absolutely terrified of him, and he became the most feared pirate of all through the media's fixation and reports on him. But if you look through all the documentary evidence, which is pretty voluminous, of Blackbeard's career, and it's all from the victims, it's the depositions of people he captured and court testimony from them, there's not one instance of him hurting or killing anybody prior to his final fatal battle with the Royal Navy. So he scared people, but he actually never applied violence, because in part because he didn't have to. He was a thinking man's pirate and a bit of a chess master, which is why I think he is rightly dominated pop culture thinking about the pirates.
Well, you're talking about some documentary evidence, and this is something that's been studied by scholars for a long time. But how else do we know about the life and world of the pirates?
Well, primarily it is the archival stuff, and some of it was things that I found, you know, bringing to the picture that nobody else had uncovered, things like the captain's logs and captain's letters of the Royal Navy officials who were tasked with gathering intelligence on these pirates and trying to capture him, which scholars had not really dug into in depth. There's also archaeological evidence now. They found both Blackbeard's flagship, the Queen Anne's Revenge, off North Carolina, and before that, off Cape Cod, they found the Widow, which was the wreck of another important captain from this group, Sam Bellamy. And those things gave us all sorts of interesting material evidence as to how the pirates lived and what they'd captured, and sort of as a giant time capsule of what life on a pirate vessel was like.
Blackbeard's exploits and conquests and tactics for staying one step ahead of capture are really the stuff of legend, and supported by some of these newly discovered facts that you write about in your book, which we'll leave to the readers. But how about for you? Any great surprises in what you have discovered or learned about Blackbeard and the lives of the pirates?
Yes, there were many things I found surprising and shocking, beginning with the idea that they thought themselves to be social revolutionaries, but also that many of the pirates among them were actually people who'd been involved in a great conspiracy to restore the Stuart to the throne of England. They'd recently been deposed. And so a lot of them were actually among the pirates, but had a political purpose in the sort of great struggle of dynastic politics of the age. I mean, who knew? And another set of evidence showing that this particular band of pirates we celebrate in pop culture were really unusual figures who weren't just involved in petty crime.
So that's bound up in empire and the age of discovery and the colonial world. Why does the pirate still so captivate our imagination today, Colin?
I think because they grab onto a certain part of us, particularly in this modern era where we're all have very busy lives and we're programmed and the kids need to get to soccer practice and we have to get to our job and we have to commute through traffic. And There are all these benefits of civilization, but somewhere many of us in the back of our head have that impulse. If I could just drive off this freeway and charge out into the open ocean and live a merry life on my own terms with my, you know, band of merry men, most of us wouldn't actually do it, but somewhere there's that certain attraction and appeal of that fantasy. And here among the pirates, particularly in their cleaned-up pop culture version, is crystallizing that spirit, that against terrible risks, they're just going to, you know, throw off the constraints and oppression of society and go and live on their own terms. And so I think that that is emotionally what really grabs on to people about it, even as the details, fascinating as they are, had been lost to history as to why they had been folk heroes at the time and continued to be for centuries thereafter.
Okay, to that I say aye. Colin Woodard, author of The Republic of Pirates, which in turn is the inspiration for the series Crossbones, which is airing back-to-back episodes of its two-part season finality this Saturday on NBC. For details, go to wordofmouthradio.org.